This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Tuesday, June 27th. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway. Back with you. Busts and Values episode of the show today. Very excited to talk a little fantasy football with my friends.
Kind of what we do here. We just have a good time sitting around this table.
Yeah.
Making ourselves better at fantasy football.
And hopefully those that listen as well. I would hope.
You made that very specifically about us.
Well, no. They are at the table with us, Mike. They are the fourth person at this table.
Fair enough. I'm excited. It should be fun. We both, or all of us, have picked out some early bust picks. I am very curious to hear the names that you guys have prepared. And then some values, some players going late in drafts that, I think we all look at as opportunities to strengthen a roster. And so we'll go through all of those on today's show. Here at the top, I do want to thank everybody that submitted their UDK testimonial videos. We held that Garrett Wilson jersey giveaway over the last couple of weeks. A winner has been selected. I don't know if we have. Do we have
a drum roll?
Do we have some drum roll or some trumpets? There we go.
Come on.
The winner.
That's what we found.
Yeah,
that's what I got on short notice. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So the winner of the signed Garrett Wilson jersey, and again, thank you to everybody that submitted. The videos were awesome. Funky Dan. Oh my gosh.
We couldn't have timed that up any worse. Welcome to the show.
Al, you acted like you were done with the pursuit of buttons.
I did act that way.
Yeah.
I could see why you thought that.
And you're just like, if I find it, I'm going to slam this button.
Even mid-announcement. And I thought I was going to time it up perfect, but we didn't.
Yeah, well, you shot your shot. And Funky Dan, he was announced during the drum roll portion. Congratulations to Funky Dan from Kentucky.
That's a good bit, though. Like just
to always
use the drum roll right when you do the announcement.
Congratulations. That's pretty sweet.
Funky Dan.
Congrats. Twitter at the FF Ballers if you want to follow the show over there. You can follow Mike at FF Hitman, Jason at Jason FFL, and you can follow me at Andy Holloway. The community, you can find that at jointhefoot.com. And we do have a quick question on today's show. Is this person's name Colonel with a K? Is that how you would pronounce this?
Like a popcorn kernel?
Like the
No, like a military kernel.
Yeah, but isn't popcorn kernel spelled with a K?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah, but this is K-O-L-O-N-E-L, like kernel.
Oh, okay. Which
I've never seen that before.
What English language? What are we doing?
You have a regularly scheduled annoyance with the English language.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is, Mike. I've accepted that it is what it is. Like, I can't do anything.
Yes, we can. If we can cause enough of an uproar.
Podcast tirades on a fantasy show?
I'm not talking about just the podcast. I'm talking about the people. We need to stand up and say we will not tolerate.
Is this your political platform?
C-O-L. Kerr.
Yeah.
No, what is going on?
I agree with you. And so this question comes in for Colonel in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Isn't that a colonic? A colonic. That'd be a worse name.
Bonjour.
Vancouver, British Columbia. Colonel says, excuse my ignorance, guys, but could you please explain to me how the tiers work? It's my second year watching you guys and my first year as a UDK Plus member. Learned a lot, but do not quite grasp tiers yet.
So tiers are extremely important. They take linear rankings that make someone think that player X is so much more valuable than player Y, when really they're just about the same because they're grouped in the same tier, or that player X that's right next to player Y are just as good as one another, when really there's a tier break in what the upside is, what the expectation is, et cetera, et cetera. Now, how you use them is really a matter of knowing what players are grouped in tiers. It is not. Sometimes people think, oh, if there is this, if I'm in tier five at this position and tier four in that position, that I have to take the position that is tier four. That's not how it works. It's meant to give you a visual glance representation of how many players are left at this position that are about the same value, so that you know, oh my gosh, I'm running out of this quality of player, and that position has a lot of the tier that we're in right now, whether that's tier two or tier eight. You just say, there's a lot of these players left at that position. There's a few left at this position. Maybe I want to think about going where, you know, that tier's about to run out.
It really helps cross positionally, where I can look at the, you know, the tiers, like that bucket of running backs. Say there's still four guys left in that tier. I know that I pick again in three picks. That means that I'm going to be guaranteed to get one of those running backs. Meanwhile, the tier or the bucket of wide receiver quality, there's only one or two of those guys left. So I would make the decision, I'm going to take that wide receiver and know that I'm going to get a running back who's comparable, at least in my rankings and projections, to these other guys. It helps you have a better value value for your draft pick.
I was going to say, sometimes maybe the word tiers confuses people, but you brought it up with the language of like a bucket.
Yeah.
It's a grouping of players at a specific value. That's the best summary, right? We're putting them together in a group so that you understand whether you have a bunch of them left so that you can maybe wait at that position, or you need to make a move on that specific group. And they can be very, very useful. Tier-based drafting is what we've always recommended with the Ultimate Draft Kit. It's why we build them out in that fashion. I mean, there are lots of different ways you can look at player rankings in the Ultimate Draft Kit, including a top 200, but that is often produced by demand. People want the top 200. They want, you know, you've got full player projections that are on there. But tier-based drafting is our recommended strategy heading into your fantasy football drafts. And so hopefully that helps you out.
Yep.
We don't have any big news to talk about on today's show other than, you know, the headline here, a couple of, like, fantasy footballers pieces of news, which is July is Saturday. And Saturday is July. It works both ways. And that is when we begin three shows a week.
Oh, man.
Which means the ramp up is here.
That means that training camp is, we can put together the little paper chain and count down the days.
Till we have to break in with like random injuries and stuff like that.
Let's
not bring us down. Until we can come in with unnecessary hype about players.
Yeah, there we go.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe we'll eventually know where DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott and some of those players are going.
Someday.
So episodes will be Tuesday and Thursday like they are now, but also a Saturday episode starting this week. We will be off on the 4th of July.
We will be Americaning.
Yeah. We'll be celebrating the holiday with our families. So we'll be back with another episode on Thursday, but there'll be a Dynasty episode on Wednesday. for the Dynasty podcast. So don't worry about it. You're going to have plenty of content. But yeah, three shows a week, rest of July, and then take a breath, boys. Get those smelling salts out. Five shows a week starting in August.
Yeah, I'm working out. I'm going to start getting my pump on, ready for the season. I'm going to need that. I'm an old man
you're
now.
You're going to need cardio.
You
in on that?
That's pickleball.
Okay.
I came across a Twitter account that I had never seen. I shared it with everybody here at work.
Yeah.
And all it does is shows classic clips of NFL games.
Yeah.
And I got sucked in. And I'm like,
well, you can give them a shout out. Tell them what the handle.
I'll
vintage NFL.
Okay, vintage NFL, something like that. But I started watching some clips, and it was, man, I really like football, and I'm very excited that football is back.
You just watch through vintage clips because you can't watch live ones?
Uh-huh. And, I mean, like, they're so old that you don't remember everything that happened.
Let's see how excited Brooks is about football. Brooks, are you pretty you hyped?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a big one.
That was pretty good. Okay. All right. We're excited. It'll be fun. I mean, we're kind of in a lull for news right now. Like, we haven't had big player signings and a lot of big things happening other than, you know, that's why everybody's paying attention to the maybe Tyreek is under suspicion. Maybe he's not. Maybe he'll be charged. Maybe they can't charge him.
Right.
So we're kind of staying away from that till we get some big answers. But football's on the way. Let's get into the bus picks.
Bus.
Eggman is back.
Yeah. That was that was good. Okay. I'm going to let one of you guys go first with your bust selection. Early bust pick for this year. Somebody you are avoiding.
All right. I will jump in. And this one is interesting because he's still ranked pretty high for me, but I don't think that he is worth the cost of admission. I don't think he's worth the draft ticket. And it is tight end TJ Hockenson of the Minnesota Vikings. I have him as my tight end 4. He is currently going as tight end 3 over on Underdog and on Sleeper. And look at last year. So his actual pace as a Minnesota Viking, if you take out the final week because he didn't play the full game, it's okay. It's 111 receptions, which that part is great. If you're in a PPR.
Yeah, that's Zach Ertz special.
If you're in a PPR league, that seems great, but only 950 yards on those catches and 6 touchdowns. Like I said, solid for PPR, but I think that he is being propped up because of 2 spike games, one when he was on the Lions and one as a Viking. And he really overperformed. Granted, he had a mid-season trade. I don't know that we've seen a tight end of his, you know, draft caliber change teams in the middle of a season and then go on and be useful for fantasy football. And when he got traded, I think all 3 of us were kind of like, well, I don't know if this is news because we haven't seen a player make a transition and then have an impact. But here's the deal. Even giving you that projection pace that he was on. Weeks 9 through 17, he was under 50 yards in 5 of 9 games. He finished as a top 5 weekly tight end once. So, like, in a real impact for your team, 1 time. And, like, top 5 is not a huge bar. Now, maybe with the full offseason, and he gets worked in even more. But here is another piece where I am bearish on TJ Hockenson's outlook. In that same time period that I quoted, you know, where weeks 9 through 17, where he wasn't hitting real spike weeks, he's just kind of consistently putting up points. Adam Thielen, the wide receiver 2 for the Minnesota Vikings at that time, was averaging about 4 receptions, 40 yards, and 0.3 touchdowns per game. That is a pace of 62 for 674 and 6 touchdowns, 15% of the targets. That is horrific for a wide receiver 2 on that team. And they made some moves. They waived Adam Thielen. They spent their first round pick on Jordan Addison. So that mark that I gave you, right, 62 for 674, I took a look back because I think I'm going to project Jordan Addison will have a bigger impact for the Minnesota Vikings than 674 yards. And just looking at the actual hard data, over the last decade, 41 receivers in the first round, 18 of those wide receivers surpassed that Adam Thielen mark, and they were more involved, which takes action away from TJ Hockenson. And then if you look at the first round wide receivers that didn't hit that mark, there was only two of them that played a full season. And those other 23 guys, they averaged 11 games. I know that it's a lot of numbers. But essentially what I'm saying here, the chance of Jordan Addison beating out what Adam Thielen was doing in that time period is almost a certainty. As long as Jordan Addison is on the field, he is going to beat that out. And whatever Jordan Addison gets, it takes away from TJ Hockenson. So, again, TJ Hockenson's ranked pretty high for me, but to me it's an opportunity cost thing of I don't think he's going to be a difference maker at a onesie position, and to be drafted in the fourth round or 50th overall like he is on underdog, this person has to make a difference. And if you want to make a difference at a onesie position, guys who are going right around that TJ Hockenson area, we're talking Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, like guys who I project will actually make a big difference at a onesie position. And I'm not into what TJ Hockenson is doing at that draft price.
You want a compelling case for a tight end you take in the fourth round to be able to be the one overall or the two overall.
Which he was the number two overall, but as Jason has pointed out many times in his when you're showing your concern for Travis Kelce's ADP is tight ends just as a group, the scoring was very, very subpar. It was very low, and Hockenson just snuck into the tight end too.
Well, yeah, Mark Andrews was injured throughout the year. Darren Waller didn't play football. And George Kittle missed time.
Pitts was hurt for over half the year.
So my point is, I'm just saying, I want to have a stronger case for a player drafted in the fourth round at tight end to be in that. I mean, we're all going to have him ranked there, mm-hmm. and we'd all draft him if he was an eighth round draft pick.
Yes. Yep.
But it's all about, so to make the point, what a bust represents for us in fantasy here is not that the player can't perform to the standards of our projections. You know, you're not predicting that TJ Hockenson has a statistical disaster of a season.
Correct.
What you're saying is that even if he hits these marks to be the tight end four, like we haven't projected, spending a fourth round draft pick is not going to make as much of an impact on your team as investing that maybe on a player like, look, there's cases for Justin Fields and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert to be the number one overall quarterback or the number two overall quarterback or other players at different positions in that round.
Well, and even
he's just being propped up so severely.
Yeah, I mean, the gap, we talked just earlier about the tiers and the buckets of these similar type of players. I don't know that there is a massive difference between Dallas Goedert and TJ Hockenson or Darren Waller. If Darren Waller ends the season with more targets, yards, and touchdowns than TJ Hockenson, I'm not shocked. And if that happens, you're getting him in the eighth round versus spending a really high draft capital pick on someone that, if you grab Hockenson in the fourth round, he has to perform in weak winning fashion. And Mike, I think the most telling stat was that in his time with the Vikings, even though he accumulated a lot of stats, he did not win you weeks. It just, what, one top five performance?
Yes. He was the number one.
So yeah, that was a good one.
It was a good week. TJ Hockenson has that in him because he did it twice. This past season, when he was with the Vikings, it was week 16 against the Giants, 109-2. But, I mean, you need more of those than just one.
And you didn't bring his name up, but KJ Osborne, over the last 4 weeks of the year, he had a 117-yard game, 157-yard game with 16 targets. He put up the same stat line that Thielen did, essentially, over the course of the year. So you do have the possibility of him, based on what they've been talking about in Minnesota, he's 26 years old. Like he's going to be involved in this offense. It's not all going to be, Addison and no Osborne.
Right.
So there will be distribution around that offense, and there is some risk there with Hockenson. So, there are times in which we've been bullish about TJ Hockenson, or Jason has been a big supporter in previous years because of the value. But right now he does seem very high. Like
yeah,
you have shares
expensive.
Of him in best ball.
I have one share of him in best ball. Stupid auto draft.
All right, Jason.
Look.
Give me your bust pick.
I'm going to give you my bust pick, and people are not going to like it. And
no.
I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't like it. I hate bringing this up. This is a player who's extremely talented. He is super young. He is super athletic. He is everything that I target in fantasy football, and I am not targeting him. Specifically, I'm talking about last year's rookie sensation, Kenneth Walker III, running back for the Seattle Seahawks. He was awesome last year when thrust into the starting role with Rashad Penny injured. He was talented in college. He was talented in the NFL field, and we know he can get the job done. And if at the end of this year he ends up being a bell cow and being awesome, I'm certainly not going to surprised, because he obviously can do that. In fact, our early running back ranking show that we did on the Fantasy Footballers for this coming season, we had him as our running back 6. That is the level of upside that we see in the talent of this player. The problem is right now he's being drafted as a top 15 running back. And in the second round, Pete Carroll had to ruin our nice fun things and draft Zach Charbonnet out of UCLA, I believe a sensational running back, a very very multifaceted, talented, big bodied, pass catching, pile moving back.
And super positive reports out of OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good both these guys are good players, and this is good for the Seahawks. I think that those two guys are going to be incredible 1-2 punch, because Kenneth Walker last year, he had a ton of big plays. I mean, he had 17 runs of 15-plus yards last year, and that's really where all of his fantasy juice came from, were those big plays. Because on a play-by-play basis, he was actually pretty negative. He wasn't always a positive gainer. It's kind of like Saquon, where it's like you deal with a bad play in order to get a 25-yard, big moving play. The issue I have is that where fantasy points are scored are usually in the red zone, in the scoring touchdowns, and in the passing game. Getting those PPR, those half PPR points, those two plays are worth so much more than just a handoff that goes for yardage and yardage alone. And that's my fear for Kenneth Walker, because Zach Charbonnet is a big-bodied back who can move a pile. And when they get down by the goal line, last year, Kenneth Walker was the only player in the NFL to receive all of their team's carries inside the 5-yard line. And he converted that into only 2 touchdowns. That's not necessarily his specialty. And I could see them saying, hey, let's get the big body back. Let's get the BBB in here and have him inside the 5-yard line. So if you take some touchdowns away from Kenneth Walker, that's really bad. And then Zach Charbonnet is a really good pass catcher. So if now Kenneth Walker's not involved in the passing game and he's not involved in the red zone, I think you're going to have big plays. Kenneth Walker's too good. Like, he'll have games where he's awesome because he rips off a 55-yard touchdown run. 55! Thank you. The issue is, will it be consistent? What happens in the games where he doesn't have a big touchdown run from outside of the red zone? Will he end up with 8 fantasy points? Probably not. I mean, if he's splitting time, not catching the ball, and doesn't score a touchdown, I think you're going to have a lot of games where you're going, he's got 70 yards on the ground. He was efficient. He had a good game. And that's 7 fantasy points if he didn't catch the ball and he didn't score touchdowns. And so to be drafted in the top 15, I've got him at running back 22 in my personal rankings. I just think he's a little scary to me.
He played 15 games last year and was the running back 16 in terms of fantasy finish. And he didn't get a lot of opportunities in those first few weeks. You can kind of throw those out. And he was electric. He was great. This is one of those situations where you brought up some of these points earlier in the offseason, and unfortunately, they persuaded me to lower him in my rankings. I wanted to really dig in, because when talent is there and you see it on the football field, like, there was a part of this past offseason where I'm like, is he the, pre-draft, is he the best target at running back in dynasty leagues? Like, he should he actually be considered number one?
Mm-hmm.
Because of just the talent that he possesses? Because you went into the season saying he's going to be just the guy. But if Charbonnet's strengths are the things that are strong for fantasy, it's a scarier proposition to rank him that high. Is there a possibility he's a steal? I think so. But that'll come more down to, are they happy with Charbonnet on third down? Does he do what we think he can do on third down? Will he pass protect?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, Mike, you've brought this up in favor of Kenneth Walker, and this is good information to keep in mind. If if you want to just bet on Kenneth Walker's talent, I don't have any problem with that. Back in the day, there was when they drafted Rashad Penny and they spent
first rounder,
you had Chris Carson as the incumbent. And before Penny got injured, when Penny was a rookie, it was the Chris Carson show. They did not use Rashad Penny very much through those, you know, first 10 weeks or so. They were using Chris Carson as the bell cow. So
who knows what happens last year?
Rashad Penny didn't get hurt.
Yeah. I mean, you've got both cases where they stuck with Carson because health was there, and then you have Penny went down and Kenneth Walker. I mean, we were here last offseason.
Yeah.
And this was not a backfield we wanted to mess around with because you knew, you know, Rashad Penny was injury prone and Kenneth Walker's a rookie, and we had just seen the rookie not get an opportunity. So, you know, part of it to me is also Kenneth Walker got hurt twice last year. He went into the season hurt. He got hurt in the end part of the year. They've been dealing with injuries. We saw DJ Dallas and Travis Homer. And I mean, players that shouldn't have had that many snaps. And so that makes it a little bit nerve-wracking, and I haven't had the fortitude to stick to my guns because I believe what you're saying. So
he's interesting as that. I think we've laid out a good case here of he could go either way, and so it'll be up to just drafter's choice of do you believe in Walker? You could be heavily rewarded or you could be heavily penalized. I think Jace is just saying that. The way that he's looking at that situation, he's going to choose to let someone else either get the glory or hold the bag.
Yeah, I'll probably be drafting more Charbonnet than I will be Kenneth Walker because I think both guys are talented. So give me the one with the opportunity for fantasy points.
Quick break, and then we'll be back with my bus pick.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not. But our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers. rocketmoney.com/footballers.
All right, I am going to go with a quarterback as my early bust pick here, and I guess I'm a little bit I root for this guy, but I do wonder if we may be moving to a different stage of his career. And it's Dak Prescott.
Boo.
Mike doesn't like it because he has Dak ranked at number 7. He's being drafted as the quarterback 9 right now in Sleeper. And Jason and I have him at 12. And he's turning 30 this offseason. The biggest red flags to me on Dak are connected to the things that kind of made him impervious in fantasy in previous years. One of them being he just doesn't run the football the way that he used to run it. First 3 years, he had 6 touchdowns every year. The last 4 years, it's been 3-3-1-1. He averages 13 yards per game rushing the football. Those were some kind of cheat codes to keep him in the top 6, top 7. He's had some catastrophic yeah. injuries that have led to that. I look at his career stats right now, and you see the pass attempts per game have gone down 3 consecutive years for Dak. There was a time when this defense wasn't very good, and the offense was very, very good when Amari Cooper was there and Dak was throwing the ball all over the field. So the attempts per game are coming down. You have a change in offensive coordinators. All of the enthusiasm you guys have shared repeatedly about Kellen Moore going to Los Angeles, if his presence in LA means something, then his departure in Dallas means something. Regardless of whether you're happy or sad with Brian Schottenheimer, and Mike McCarthy's come out and said, look, we want to run the football more. Well, why do you want to run the football more? Here's why. Because he had a career-high 15 interceptions last year, and he did it in only 12 games, and he put 2 more into the opposing team's hands in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not great.
Along with some fumbles. He had 19 turnovers in 13 games.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And a lot of those were, like, you watch film and you go, what the crap was that? Just terrible.
Exactly. And when you have a defense that is as exquisite as Dallas's defense, turnovers like that, they destroy your team because you believe you can win the game with very little, with some efficiency on offense. And so, you know, we're not in the days of the number one ranked offensive line. I mean, it's fluctuated a little bit over the past handful of years. You don't have Zeke there, and I know that Zeke was on his way out, but what happens if something happens to Tony Pollard? Do you have something in the running game to threaten defenses? Don't say Ronald Jones's name.
I was going to say
it. You were going to say his name.
just because it's funny to say.
I mean, just think about Dallas's offense if you take efficient running game of Tony Pollard out of it and you put it all on Dak. Your play-action pass game, which is something that, you know, they've been able to take advantage of. Like, I think Dak finishes at 12. The problem is that's like, you know, that's not what I draft in fantasy football, is a player to end up at 12. That's like late career Matt Ryan. That's like late career Phillip Rivers throwing all of those interceptions. So there's a lot of red flags to me with Dak's game. And, like, I won't be shocked if next offseason we're talking about him the way, I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. But if we're talking about him in the way that we talk about Russell Wilson right now, which would not make a lot of people happy. I know.
I don't think Dak's personality would allow us to treat him that way.
Dak's a good human.
Dak's younger. But year 33 Russell Wilson, we saw the wheels fall off in performance.
Yeah, I'm just saying we're not going to talk about him the same way.
You're saying because we have more of an active dislike?
Yeah, remember the Danger Witch? So I don't think Dak's doing that. Dak's a cool guy.
Dak's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I think he can be very successful for the football team. But I don't think the things that he needs to do to get there are going to help your fantasy team. Like, they could be a 13-14 win team again. But Dak could also do that with efficient 1-2 touchdown a game. You're probably not getting it on the ground, and that's not going to get it done for fantasy. So I think, you know, even though he's going in the 8th round, when you're making a decision on a quarterback again, just like the TJ Hockenson argument, I want to have a case in my mind as to why this player is going to have an exceptional season. Now, Mike, you've held your tongue because I think you have him ranked where you do because you recognize Brandon Cooks represents something to the offense.
Yep.
Michael Gallup represents something to the offense being healthier. Now, he does lose his safety net, which, look, has been very important to him with Dalton Schultz being gone. So I'm concerned there, too.
I totally get that.
That saves him from a lot of interceptions.
But it also is like, I think they just need someone who is capable. I mean, before Dalton Schultz, you know, it was Jason Witten at the very end of his career. You know, I had hoped it was going to be Blake Jarwin, but then it was Dalton Schultz. And like
fake Jarwin.
Hey-oh, got it. when Dalton Schultz broke out, it was, oh, well, how's Dak going to do? He has this Dalton Schultz guy.
Like, you talk Dalton Schultz like he's an insurance salesman that lives next door.
Is that what
you think of him?
I think Dalton Schultz is a fine football player. I don't think he is a difference maker. So if you have, like, if Jake Ferguson is, I think he'll be just fine. Or if it's the Schoon Man, I think he'll be they'll be just fine no matter what happens, because they're just running seams
just
up the
just
field.
Just a utility guy, huh?
Yes.
Poor Dalton. All right. Let's move on.
Values.
All right, I think you know the UDK. We have a bunch of consensus picks, sleepers, breakouts, busts, values, players that we've put into those categories that you can target or stay away from. To me, values are my favorite.
Hmm.
We talked about on the sleeper show that, like, you can't hide anymore, and so I think that world of completely out of nowhere names is kind of gone. It's more like kind of a value argument in the sleeper category at times. We try to go really deep, you know, Jalen Warren and those guys. But the value picks, to me, it's like there are categories of them. There are sometimes there's older players that, like, their age, like, they just can't get moved up in ADP. Like, I think Keenan Allen's in that category this year where it's like,
yeah,
like the laws of physics don't allow him to get past the fourth round. Like, that's not allowed because of the age. And we saw that with Frank Gore years ago, and probably Adam Thielen 2 years ago was that way. And
sure.
And so that's like a category of value. And then there are players that emerge into new roles and we just don't know what they're going to do. So they're an unknown value. But Jason, are you going to go first here, or was it Mike?
The order was Mike. I am okay. Happy to go first.
Mike might as well go first because,
because I'm on my own over here?
You're kind of on your own rankings-wise.
Yes. I have this player ranked much higher than everybody else. You guys have him ranked below ADP. And
it feels bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't.
Oh, it feels, Jason, feels like, fine.
No, but Jason is...
It's kind of against
Jason's
my brand.
A lifelong truther
yeah.
of Rashad Penny, running back now for the Philadelphia Eagles, as Jason makes a note.
Yeah, got to move him
gotta
up.
Got to move Rashad Penny up. And here is my case for Rashad Penny being a value. On the field, Rashad Penny is, as Tony the Tiger would say, great. He is great. Over his past 16 games played, he is averaging over 6 yards per carry. For his career, it is 5.6. Since the year 2000, only 6 times have we ever seen a running back with 100-plus carries average over 6 yards per carry. Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, CJ Spiller's magic year, Dobbins, his rookie year, Alvin Kamara, and Rashad Penny. Health is the entirety of the conversation for Rashad Penny. And last year, right, Miles Sanders was their guy. He was their bell cow running back. Going into last year, Miles Sanders had his own health concerns. The two previous seasons, he had appeared in only 12 games. That's it. Back-to-back years, 12 games for Miles Sanders, and that did not stop Philadelphia from giving him 70% of the running back attempts, the 11th highest mark at the running back position. Miles only saw 26 targets. Like Rashad Penny, pass catching, just it hasn't been in the profile as a professional, but Miles only saw 26 targets. And yes, the targets, they keep the ceiling higher, and they keep your floor higher as well. Miles was pretty hot and cold. But at the end of the year, it was still over 1,200 rushing yards, 11 rushing touchdowns, and he finished as the running back 13. So for a ninth-round pick, the potential of seeing 200-plus carries, which I think Rashad Penny can hit that, and double-digit targets, it's super alluring. And yes, you have the DeAndre Swift into the mix. To me, DeAndre Swift is more of the Philadelphia Eagles just taking a chance to see if anything is there. And Swift, to me, profiles more as a threat to Boston Scott or Kenneth Gainwell of that type of a role. I think that should the team move forward with everybody who's on the team, I think that Rashad Penny should be the heavy favorite to be the two-down grinder, and which on the Philadelphia Eagles, that's a lot of touchdown upside on a very high-powered offense.
I'm not willing to move him until I get into camp.
And that's fair.
Because I think that this team likes Kenneth Gainwell. I believe that. There was a loyalty to Rashad Penny in Seattle that we haven't witnessed yet in Philadelphia. It was certainly a flyer by them, right? I mean, I believe that the flyer they took on Rashad Penny is similar to the one that they took on DeAndre Swift,
mm-hmm.
right? This is not a long-term deal. Finger fracture, knee sprain, hamstring, ACL, preseason knee, calf strain, hamstring strain, groin strain, tibia fracture.
Oh, yes.
The last 4 years for Rashad Penny. So I take some issue with the thought that injuries...
What's your point? I don't understand.
I mean, it's all lower body. His hands have been... Oh, no, finger fracture. Never mind. but I take a little issue with the idea that injury is the only thing because I don't know where this team is going to lay things out. I'm more than willing to move him if we see camp and it's like, okay, he's taking all the reps. Like, this is a camp battle I want to watch because, you know, some of these backfield committee battles are on teams that I don't care who wins it, sort of. Philly's a team I kind of care about. You mentioned the Miles Sanders numbers last year. So if, yeah, and Kyle's pointing out that Kenneth Gainwell was really good in the playoffs, and it's true. Like, I think that that's a possibility that Kenneth Gainwell gets more play. So, you know, the numbers that Penny's put up when he's played and gotten dedicated opportunities have been outrageous.
That's all I meant with...
But he clearly is overextending his body. He's running too hard. Why go six fast. A carry when you yeah. could go five and maybe stay healthy?
I'm saying health is the only conversation to me of like, Rashad Penny is a great player. It's not like, yeah. well, you know, he's been okay here and there. No, when he's on the field, he is incredible. But, I mean, granted, it's been very limited when we've seen him on the field.
Think about the range of outcomes in a dynasty league on Rashad Penny right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because there's every chance that if an injury happens or he's just not the guy, you're done. That's it. Rashad Penny's career is not going to reemerge after this season if he doesn't produce in Philadelphia.
Right.
Or if he gets injured again. It's over.
Yeah.
Like, it's just you could just slide him off the roster. I mean, he's not going to get – if he gets signed, he's going to get signed in some capacity that it's like – it's Trey Sermon's career now.
Or he could be the dude
who's ironically on the same team
with 1,400 yards and 10 rushing touchdowns and get a contract somewhere. Because he has been great. And I would agree with Mike that if
– And DeAndre Swift is going four rounds ahead of Rashad Penny.
Yeah. I would much rather take the shot on Rashad Penny – if all of the backs in Philadelphia are healthy, I think Rashad Penny is the best one.
Yeah, and that's what my argument comes down to is, the contract in Rashad Penny is not a big investment. So for both Swift and Penny, the team is not really in. But you could, I mean, kind of for the rest of the team as well. Even though, you know, Gainwell has more team equity, like they like the guy, he's been on the team for a few years, but just there's no real contracts that you can look at and go, that guy's going to for sure get it because he's getting the millions of dollars.
It's one of the reasons, like, right now I have it projected for them all to get it, which means that none of them get it in the way that matters to me, because Jalen Hurts is going to score 14 times or 10 times or 12 times around the goal line, and the other guys will be, you know, there's four guys. Boston Scott's still a part of this offense.
Sure.
He's still got red zone carry. So camp, though, could really move that around for me, and Penny is certainly very, very talented. So, Jason, bring up this name.
Oh, it's a guy
a year late.
Or
2 years late.
Actually, 2 years late. Right on cue with this guy last year on this show. He was my bust pick this show last year. Deontay Johnson, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's really
excellent. Okay. Excellent work over right. there.
Yeah,
that's a good bit. there's the
now
big
we
reveal.
Got it. Oh boy!
Like, you have to like raise the volume of your voice to try and talk over the drum roll.
Perfect.
Wow.
Well done. Deontay Johnson is, I think, a great value this season. Last year, I thought he was a bust.
He was a bust. You thought it, and he was.
Yeah, he was going way too high for a rookie quarterback to come in and to be able to support. You know, he was like a third, fourth round pick last year. People love Deontay Johnson. 70% of rookie quarterbacks fail to support a top 36 wide receiver. And last year, Deontay Johnson finished as the wide receiver 39. He did that.
He just needed one touchdown.
Yeah.
And he would have been top 36.
He would have, but he couldn't because Kenny Pickett didn't know how to throw touchdowns yet. Thankfully,
nobody taught him.
Coming into year two, here's what I know for a fact, an absolute ironclad fact. He will not throw a worse touchdown rate. Kenny Pickett will not. There is
can't
no
throw any rates.
You can't throw as few a touchdowns per passing attempt as he did last year. He won't be allowed to play football if that happens. And historically, sophomore quarterbacks take a big step up in that specific category. Touchdown throwing is something that is not easy for rookies coming into the NFL. You saw it with Trevor Lawrence, just abysmal touchdown rate his rookie season. His sophomore year, he's throwing league average touchdown rate. So I don't think Kenny Pickett is a star. He's not Trevor Lawrence, but he will throw a much better touchdown rate. If he gets even near league average, you're talking about success for Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson had 147 targets this last year. He earns targets. He is a great route runner. He is one of only 8 wide receivers in the NFL to hit a 23% target share each of the last 3 seasons. And that list, they're good. Your Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Deebo Samuel, Keenan Allen, and Deontay Johnson. So you know he's going to get the targets.
Yeah, 140 plus, 3 straight years.
Touchdown variance is massive. We talk about touchdowns not being a sticky stat, and it really isn't. You look 2 years ago, Jacoby Myers was Deontay Johnson. Jacoby Myers had so many targets. It was like 124 targets, had almost no touchdowns. Well, he's not a touchdown scoring guy. Well, no, that's not true. He's an NFL wide receiver, and last year in only 14 games, he had 6 touchdowns. With Mac Jones coming into, not his rookie season. That's what's going to happen for Deontay Johnson. So to me, I think his baseline, I mean, we saw it, right? Last year is the wide receiver 39 with a rookie quarterback. And he's being drafted as the wide receiver 34. So he's being drafted around what his baseline is. If he got 6 touchdowns like Jacoby Myers did in, which I think is reasonable, he did that in 14 games, you're talking about a top 20 wide receiver. He would have been ahead of a lot of names that we really like, ahead of DJ Moore. He would have been ahead of Chris Godwin last year if the touchdowns came. So the way that I view him as a value is, look, if you're in a PPR league, half PPR, he's a really safe pick because of where he's being drafted. You're basically getting his floor. You're drafting a player at his floor, and he's not going to score 0 touchdowns. That just doesn't happen. It was an NFL record he set this year. You don't just do that back-to-back years. And if you remember last year, there were those crazy plays, just like with Jacoby Myers the year prior, where it was like, it's going to happen. He's on his way to the end zone, and then right at the 1 yard line. It doesn't happen. So to me, it's just a matter of you're in a better situation. Chase Claypool is now gone. His targets are assured. His quarterback will be better. The offensive line is improved. He's good if the touchdowns come. It's just a great value.
It's pretty difficult to find 8.6 targets a game in the 7th round.
Exactly.
And so, when you think about situations for your fantasy team, maybe in the 7th round, this is a player you'd start if you're drafting in a 3-wide receiver league. If it's a 2-wide receiver league, this is a luxury for your bench where bye weeks, opportunities, injuries, you get to put 8.6 targets a game onto your team. I mean, that is that's a luxury, right?
It's a value.
I mean, okay. All right. It's a value. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I mean, because the other option is a lot of these other players going in that range are going to be boom or bust. They're going to be very, deep threats, minimal targets. Do they, Donovan Peoples-Jones or something where, the target share for Deontay Johnson is going to be huge.
Yeah, he's a fourth-year wide receiver going into his fifth year in the prime of his career, 27 years old. And if he gets 8 targets a game, over the last decade, there's been 12 wide receivers that average 8 targets a game in year 4 and year 5. Every single one of them top 20 wide receiver in year 5.
The hardest part for me last year was that it's what you already know, but Deontay's a great player. This was the number 9 overall fantasy finisher the year before. He had over 100 receptions. He was... and I think we got kind of blinded by, or I got blinded by, look, Big Ben wasn't good, but he was really good for Deontay. And so Kenny Pickett couldn't do it. Couldn't get him 8 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns.
One touchdown.
Previous 3 years. One touchdown. Couldn't even get him one. All right. The name I'm going to bring up as my value pick is a player I wanted to talk about. Samaje Perine, running back for the Denver Broncos. This is almost a 10th round draft pick. Very, very into the 9th round right now on Sleeper. That puts his ADP as the running back 39, which means that both of you guys, even though you have him ranked below me, are still above ADP. Jason at 36, Mike at 26.
Yeah, I'm in.
I am taking the leap. I have him at 21. For some, and you say, Samaje Perine, this was a player that we pretty much bemoaned every opportunity he ever had in Cincinnati because it represented not Mixon. And in the fantasy world, Mixon had the draft capital and was on every roster, and Samaje Perine just represented a snap goblin, except for he was good.
Yeah.
And we really were frustrated by the fact he ended up on third down all of the time, but what Samaje Perine is known for is strength in passing situations. That's why they did it. He has a lifetime catch percentage of 85.6%. And he was brought into Denver with a purpose by a brand new head coach in Sean Payton that has a history of utilizing running backs well, especially in passing situations. He had 46 receptions last year. Do you guys realize that?
I did not.
I do now.
46 in Cincinnati last season. Since he kept using him on third down. And that is, you just brought it up with Charbonnet. That is a very valuable down for fantasy football. We do not know where Javonte Williams' health truly is, and that will play a factor. But I think Samaje Perine is being massively, massively overlooked, and I brought it up in the context of Alexander Mattison, where it's like the career numbers for Alexander Mattison on a yards per carry basis are not as good as what Samaje Perine's are. And I'm not saying that Mattison shouldn't be ranked higher than Perine. If you like Mattison and you like that opportunity, go for it. But Samaje Perine, the gap between them is insanity to me. Because if we go into the season under Sean Payton in this offense where we saw Latavius Murray have value last year and other relative bums in this backfield, Samaje Perine is going to have every opportunity to be a high-value guy. And Sean Payton's come out and talked about him. You know, his quote, and this is quoting Sean Payton, if you watch Perine, you study the tape, you see him on early downs, you see him play third down, he's a great receiver. Obviously, he could block the blitz. He's big, he's physical, he's smart, he's tough, he's built to last. So I
Duralast.
Think
it's in my head.
I Duralast.
In everybody's head. If you were listening to this, he's built to last. Duralast. Yeah. I mean,
they did some good work there.
It's good branding work.
Yeah, for sure.
So and they've made investments on the offensive line. So I think that, you know, when you talk about putting Russell Wilson in a position to succeed, it's gonna come through the bread and butter of what Sean Payton has done well over the years. And we're going to know more in camp. Like, this is another situation you've got to watch. I'm sure that Jason won't have him at 36 if we find out Javonte Williams is missing 4 games to start the year or something like that. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to speak
that's,
for you.
No, that's probably right. I've got him at 32 and 36 respectively, Javonte slightly ahead of Samaje. But you're right. I mean, if you knew that Javonte was starting on the pup, then obviously those numbers would change. And I would say that one of the best bets over the last several years in fantasy football for draft season is bet against the guys that are injured and in so doing,
yeah,
the guys that are going to get the opportunity are great bets. So this is probably a value.
I just want people to understand, like, weeks 11, 12, 13, yes, and 14 last year, Samaje Perine was the running back 2, 10, 7, and 22.
He also
out-snapped Joe Mixon 43-23 in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City. There is a lot of confidence in Samaje Perine among the coaching circles. That is clear. And I think we just disliked him because we put him in a category of, that's just a backup. That's all he'll ever be. That's, to be frank, that's what I've done with Alexander Mattison. Makes it harder to get on board. Now, I could be proven wrong. And I could be proven wrong here by Samaje Perine, but I don't think Javonte Williams is ready to take a decent workload. And I think even when he's ready to come back, if you give third down to Samaje Perine and some other opportunities, he'll be fine.
Well, Sean Payton has historically used multiple running backs. So, like, when Kamara was doing his damage, Mark Ingram was there, and Mark Ingram was also
and he was the main guy in terms of carries.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, the difference here of Samaje Perine's ADP versus Madison's is if Javonte is healthy, Javonte is the starting running back. He is the 1A or just the overall number one. So that's the difference here between those two players is Madison is set up to be the starter. But this is fantastic news for, like, I've been celebrating.
For Duralast.
I've been celebrating that Alexander Madison is finally getting his opportunity. Samaje Perine was, like, that guy for me. I would, when it was draft season, it's like, this guy's really, really good. And then he unfortunately got drafted to a Washington team that had no idea what they were doing back then. And he just kind of, the beginning of his career ended up getting wasted. Goes to the Cincinnati, kind of recovers his value, and I think he has a
a lost year in Miami, too?
It really seemed
like he... I did not even remember that.
He had a lost year in Miami where he had a total of 5 opportunities in 7 weeks.
Really seemed like you were saying he had a bad drinking problem.
Wait, he said that?
Because he was wasted?
Yeah, he's like, he goes there, he gets wasted.
No, the drinking problem was Washington.
Yeah,
but this and was their management.
Yeah, and this has been tweeted by our main account. But in 13 of 16 seasons, Sean Payton's Saints offense has finished with top 5 in total running back fantasy points. 16 years.
Yeah, Sean Payton in running backs is fantasy gold.
So yeah, it'll be, you know, it is a bit of a, I don't know, a later career prime for Samaje Perine that we might be seeing here soon. But he's established himself as a value, and 46 receptions last year is wild. So
for both of these, like Perine and Rashad Penny, it's trying to get out in front of it. Like if you are drafting right now, you know, we don't have all the information, so this is how we are projecting these players. Once camp news comes out and they're saying, oh man, Javonte is not on the field, Perine's ADP is going to go up. It's the same for if the Eagles camp. Rashad Penny's out there getting all the first team work. His ADP is going to skyrocket. So we're kind of bringing these guys up right now. So if you are drafting right now, I think that, and I like Perine. Both of these running backs to me are worth the late round gamble investment.
All right. That is going to do it for today's episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Reminder, check out the Ultimate Draft Kit. The Draft Analyzer launches on Saturday for the UDK Plus. So another big feature hitting the UDK. You can find out about everything that's included in the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. It will be the number one tool you can rely on to prepare for your fantasy drafts and give you an advantage over your league mates. Thank you once again for joining us. We'll be back with another episode on Thursday.
Until then, stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.
Built to last.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Hey there, Foot Clan. Still listening? I'd like to take this brief moment to invite you to become a part of the world's greatest fantasy football community, the Foot Clan. By supporting the show at jointhefoot.com, you get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of 30,000-plus like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools to help you win each week. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.